Oh, well, let's see. No, I guess it's going to be another one of those weeks. Okay, here we go.
Sports Time Review. All sports, all the time.
All right, well, apparently the opening music at least still doesn't like me. Let's see how this goes. Of course, welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and, well, you know, you're probably wondering why the heck we're here at 5 o'clock.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that should have answered your question. Because
5 o'clock
fits better into Schomburg Stu's schedule, so that's why we're here, right, Stu?
Absolutely. Ready to do some sports analysis for the next hour or so.
There you go. And as we get into that, you want to call in and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. I'm sure you'd rather talk to Stu, but hey, that's besides the point. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but swing on over there anyways just to see what the heck is going on. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you know, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time, and as always, feel free to ship me off any questions for Stu, and I will forward them along. So there we go.
All right.
And now we are off and running. I did see we have a couple NBA games tonight. It's TNT's night to deliver the NBA. We start with the Bucks at the Pistons and the Rockets at the Jazz. This is the wrap-up game tonight. Both these series are 3-0. Do Milwaukee and Houston just put this away and we move on?
Definitely. Sweeps for both teams.
So, yeah, you know, I know Milwaukee has pretty much been dominating. I know Houston had a little bit of issue in Game 3, but, you know, they still picked up the win. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that James Harden was just terrible. I think he was 0 for his first 15. Again, just kind of boring opening round NBA series, right? I mean, is there any reason to watch either of these games?
I can't think of any. By the way, if there were to be an upset tonight, I would more be inclined to predict Houston losing as compared to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oddly, that seems to be the consensus. I saw a couple guys say if either of these teams lose, it would be the Rockets. So
yeah,
you're on all the prognosticators.
Well, of course, Milwaukee has dominated, really dominated. I mean, they won by big, big, big numbers the first three games. They win by 10 or 15 points at least in Game 3 in Detroit, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, obviously it doesn't help the Pistons that while Blake Griffin is trying to play, it's clear that he's not 100%. And, you know, they're not going to compete with him in any kind of shape. Let's see. They won by 16 in Game 3 on Saturday.
Right, and I anticipate something similar tonight. I think it might be a little closer. I think they may have a couple of runs at Milwaukee, although I think they'll fall short. I have a feeling that the victory will be under 10 points, though, tonight.
Yeah, well, if Blake Griffin doesn't play, there is some talk that they may hold him out. That game could get ugly really quick, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Milwaukee, you know, trying to give their starters a little time off, even though it does look like they'll have a decent amount of rest, you know, after this, because the NBA does have a lot of downtime in between playoff, not only games but series. So, you know, they'll have, I would guess, at least a week, maybe more.
Yeah, there's too much downtime, and sometimes that can work to a team's detriment, too. It doesn't always help to get all that extra time off. When you come back, you're rusty for the first game or so, even two games.
Well, On the plus side for the Bucks, they'll play the Celtics, who closed out their series against the Pacers in four straight last night. So it, you know, it could be both teams sitting around for a little while. So they'll kind of be on even ground there, so to speak. They'll both be off about the same time.
Yeah, Boston, that should be a good series. That should be a very good series.
Yeah, you know, it definitely should be interesting. And then I did hear today, apparently, playoff ratings are in the tank, which is no surprise. I believe you mentioned that Friday that you didn't think the ratings for the game would be very good. And I did see them from Friday, and it lost its hour to the comedy shows that are on Fox from 7 to 8 our time. And that's a bit of a surprise, because not many sports lose their time slot. Celtics did.
Yeah, I think that the ratings will be a lot better for the Milwaukee-Boston series, because I figure that whoever wins that one will advance and win the championship in the conference.
Well, you know, when you look at these, and I think I wrote about this last Wednesday or maybe it was Saturday, there were no real possible upsets in these first round series. When you look at the matchup, I know the Spurs are giving the Nuggets some headaches, but, you know, Denver did even it up 2-2, and, you know, we'll see how that works out. I think they play again tomorrow. But other than that, I mean, there's been no real reason to think that somebody's going to pull off an upset. I know there was a boatload of noise when the Warriors blew that big lead in game two, and, you know, oh my God, they're vulnerable. What are we going to do? And, you know, they got right back on track and have cruised to a couple victories. I get that they have to try to hype this up, but I didn't buy any of it. Did you, see a first round upset anywhere among these guys?
Not really. The only one, as you pointed out, the only one really competitive so far is the Denver series, and now it's down to a best of three. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an upset there, but that's it. The rest are just off going according to form. And let's go to the second round.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, they're not only are they going to form, but they're going to form in the simplest of manner. I know Toronto was another one of those teams, you know, they lost game one and here go the Raptors again. They're going to blow it in the playoffs. You know, they've came back now in three straight and have really, really dominated. You know, they get a chance to close out tomorrow. The Sixers went through the same thing. They lost game one and everybody was like, oh my God, they're in trouble. They're going to choke to the Nets. And, you know, with the exception of yesterday, which ended up being a four-point game with a little bit of pushing and shoving, you know, they've blown out Brooklyn. And, you know, there's nothing to look here. I mean, you know, Oklahoma City's been bad with the exception of one game. I mean, Russell Westbrook was terrible last night. So, Why watch these? I mean, what are you looking for here? At this point, you're just hoping somebody doesn't get hurt, right?
That's true. And although I think Philadelphia, as you pointed out, will advance to the second round, they look like a kind of a dysfunctional team to me. So I don't see them advancing any further than that.
You know, and oddly, I think that's just their nature with the way they're kind of put together. You know, I mean, they've got a guy who's a great point guard and can't shoot an outside shot, which is, you know, all the NBA is now. I mean, there is no such thing as a mid-range game. Even if you have one, they don't really want you to use it. So it's an odd collection. And I know there are a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people talk about how Joel Embiid is actually hurt. So that, you know, that would be a big key, because they're not beating anybody without him.
No. Yeah, there has been some speculation about that. And I'm not sure. He may be hurt, but he's going to continue to play in the playoffs as far as he can. So I don't think it's that serious an injury, but he may be playing hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you would think this time of year, right, guys would suck it up a little bit. I mean, unless it's, you know, serious, you know, you're going to get out there and, you know, try to give it your best this time of year. And, you know, hopefully, you know, your team gets a blowout and you can get some time off. But, you know, what did you think of, I don't know if you saw the highlight, but, you know, when Jared Dudley went after Embiid yesterday, did you see it was Jimmy Butler who stepped up? I'm used to him fighting with his teammates, not for his teammates. What happened there?
Yeah. I did happen to read about that, and I did see where he got involved, and that's a good thing. It's about time he did something like that.
Actually got himself ejected for getting in there, and I know a lot of people were saying it wasn't really – I don't know if anything was ejection worthy. I think the reason they threw guys out was because they tumbled into the first row of the stands, you know, under the basket there. Otherwise, anybody would have, would have won, you know.
Good to see the fathers protecting the kids there, huh, when that happened.
Yeah. I would have just ran away and left my kids.
That could be dangerous, though, because kids are really are in harm's way because they've got some large athletes coming into the first row, and they could get hurt. So I was glad the fathers did the right thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough anytime you sit in those areas, you know, especially, now more so for, a basketball game than any other because they've got the nets at the baseball games now. Like you said, I mean, these are, you know, really, you don't realize how big some of these guys are until you see them in person. And, it can be dangerous.
It sure can, and I was glad to see those. By the way, can you imagine what those seats cost those fathers for those games?
That's got to be, what, four plus figures, easy?
At least, yeah. Big megabucks for sure.
I couldn't see. Just one of those things. I just don't know how that would work out. So.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the kids weren't hurt. They're okay. And they'll be talking about that for a while with their classmates, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, you see me on TV. Hey, so-and-so fell on me. You know, I can just imagine how that's going today at school or however that works out for them. So, you know, of course, the other kid was probably sitting in a luxury box and, you know, was like, yeah, that's great. You guys can sit up there. I sat in the box and, you know, got free food and drink all game.
Yeah, it's interesting when that happens. A quick interjection here. I remember many years ago when I attended a wrestling match at Marigold, the main event was between Chet Wallach and Mr. Clean. I don't think you remember these guys, but the action spilled into the first three rows, and we had to vacate our seats, which was a good thing because those tables and chairs went flying.
Yeah. Yes, having experience with going into the crowd before, it can be a little dicey. So,
you've had that experience, I'm sure, a few times.
As long as those guys didn't go into the crowd by, what did they used to call her? Was it Hatpin Harriet or something like that?
No, close. Hatpin Hanny. It's Hatpin Hanny.
That's
yeah.
It. Okay.
And that was no joke.
Yeah.
They avoided her at all costs.
Yeah. You know, not a lady you want to, especially if you're a heel, not a lady you want to go walking by there.
So,
I'm with her. But all right, well, switching up to our other playoff sport here, we also have two NHL games tonight. Washington is at Carolina. They lead that series 3-2. But in the other one, Nashville is on the road at Dallas, and it's actually Dallas who has a 3-2 lead here. Do we have a... We have closeouts tonight, or we go into Game 7 like a couple of the other series we have left?
I got a feeling Dallas is not going to do the job tonight, but I think Washington will close it out. I think the Dallas series is going to a Game 7. I don't know why, because I haven't been paying too much attention to the NHL now that the Blackhawks have been eliminated, but I have that gut feeling that Dallas will Matt get the job done tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, I honestly didn't even have Carolina winning two games in this series, so this is a huge surprise as it is. But again, on the on the prognostication side, I was listening to a couple of the experts talk, and the majority of them actually have Dallas closing out tonight. I was a little surprised, of course. You know, Nashville is the higher seeded team. But a lot of people see Nashville as what they described as flat, and some people have said they've given up. And I was like, man, it's the playoffs. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't think they're giving up. That's going to be on national TV tonight on the that one sports channel, NBC Sports Channel.
The Washington-Carolina game is on the NBC Sports Network. If you're looking for the Predator Stars game, you have to go over to CNBC to find that game.
Well, that's a basic channel, so I could check the score of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the process of remembering, you know what I mean? You know, the NHL does a nice job of getting these games on TV. I mean, you know, they use USA, and obviously NBC Sports covers a lot of them, and getting them on CNBC. So they are out there if you're looking for the hockey games. It's just a matter of finding them. It should be interesting.
It should be interesting, and, you know, it has been proven already that if you're going to look for a first-round upset, 90% of the time you'll see it in the NHL as compared to the NBA.
Yeah, that's definite. Well, you know, we had it again, you know, last night. You know, St. Louis closed out Winnipeg, who was, my pick to actually win it all. You know, I had Winnipeg winning the cup in the bracket I did, and they got, tossed last night. And, we tomorrow we have a couple game sevens. You know, the Bruins and the Maple Leafs are going to a game seven. And then what is it? It's the Golden Knights and the Sharks are headed for game seven. But, you know, both number one seeds are gone. You know, Tampa Bay's been gone for a while in the East. And, you know, Colorado ousted Calgary, what was it, five games? I think, it took them five games to get rid of the Flames. So both NHL number one seeds are gone. I think Winnipeg was the number two over there? Yeah, Winnipeg was number two. One and two are out the door already in the West.
Yeah, and, it's going to be up for grabs tomorrow in both of those games. And interesting to see at least two of the original six in one of those contests.
I know a lot of people were high on Toronto, so if they, you know, if they don't get, obviously being upset, they're the higher-seeded team as well. So if they were to not get the job done, but
Toronto,
you know, it's
not
been
really
a tough
been involved in the playoffs much lately. In past years, they haven't really been involved too much in the playoffs, so this is a big game for them tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, and then Vegas was, you know, Las Vegas was kind of the Cinderella story last year. You know, they got, did they get all the way to the finals last year? They got beat by, was it Pittsburgh, Washington, or Washington beat
them. Yeah, yeah.
So,
they got all the way to the finals. They played for the cup last year. And
I don't know if you saw any of that
team.
Game last night. They went double overtime in San Jose's
double
goalie,
overtime,
Martin
yeah,
Jones, for saves in a playoff game.
It was an exciting game. I saw some of the highlights of that one. And, that's probably one of the most exciting games in playoff games is the sudden death overtime. Boy, so much is on the line. And any fluke goal can win it for a team, too, as we've seen over the years. Remember when the Blackhawks lost Los Angeles three or four years ago when a puck in overtime bounced off the shoulder of a defenseman and went in for the game winner. So crazy things happen.
Yeah, you know, now with the new format, too, where it opens up the ice, it really opens up the game, and there's a lot of scoring chances in overtime. So,
yeah, it's very exciting.
You know, that kind of adds to it.
Yeah, it really adds to the game, the excitement of the game, the overtime games in hockey were exciting to begin with. And now, with some rule changes, of course, it's even more exciting.
So, but yeah, it'll be it'd be fun to see how the games go, and you know, if we get a couple more game sevens, or if they can, you know, figure out how to, you know, the guys can figure out how to close things out. But yeah, it's so much more exciting, you know, watching an NHL game when it comes playoff time than, you know, an NBA game, because there's just always a chance that, you know, that lower seeded team, you know, even, you know, like I said, we saw the, you know, the worst two teams beat the best two teams.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that Tampa, who had the most points of any team in the league this year in hockey, by far the most points, get eliminated that decisively in the first round. Incredible.
Yeah, and then, you know, then to get swept, you know, just kind of on top of everything else.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
there you go.
That's embarrassing. That's a huge embarrassment.
Yeah. So, you know, I know, you know, a lot of people were talking that, you know, it was finally Tampa's year. You know, they had done, you know, pretty well for a few years. But, yeah, it was just time, and, yeah, no, didn't work. So.
Yeah, they made some kind of a statement to the fans, the management, and it was kind of snickered at by a lot of people, apologizing for that. They're not doing well in the first round of the playoffs and being eliminated so decisively.
You know, and it's tough because, I mean, what can you really say? I mean, you know, I mean, they didn't – it's not like they went out and just stunk. You know, they had a game or two that wasn't great, but they, you know, they just didn't go out and flat-out stink. They, you know, they just got outplayed by Columbus.
Yeah, and Columbus has been a kind of under-the-radar team for some years now and always seemed to have a respectable team.
Yeah, you know, but normally, you know, another team that hasn't had much luck in the playoffs. Remember last year, they beat Washington the first two games and then lost four straight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it was just kind of like, you know, even like when they got out of the gate, this one, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, Columbus won the first two and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay, so what? It's Columbus. They do this all the time.
Yeah. It's been known to happen before.
But not this year. They are moving along, and we will see how that works out.
We'll see how it plays out in the next round for them.
So, but yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you about this kind of. Well, it's a sad story, but it's a little odd. I've never used a ride share, be it an Uber or a Lyft or anything that, but. How does your ride share go so bad that you end up getting killed? And I don't know if you saw this story. There's a former UFC fighter by the name of Rodrigo de Lima who had an argument with his ride share driver, and the guy ended up killing him.
Well,
and I'm just trying to figure out what the hell happens in a ride share that it leads to this.
Yeah, I guess the tip he was giving the guy wasn't enough.
Yeah. So
did they disclose the cause of argument yet? Did they have to discuss what happened? Or
they don't say what caused the argument. They just say that De Lima and the driver got into an argument. They actually got out of the car and got into an altercation. The driver got out of the car, got back into the car, and drove away, and then apparently came back and ran the guy down.
Incredible.
So yeah, I don't
there
get
stories,
the.
There's been some stories that are kind of alarming about some of these Uber drivers, and you really have to be careful. There was that woman that got into the wrong car recently, and she thought it was a Uber and it wasn't, and with bad consequences. And this is not unique. And I have never been when I worked downtown and had to take cabs to the lawyers' offices, and always just. Grab a cab and that's it. But it's a little different now with the competition with the Uber drivers. But I'm wondering how safe they really are. I know they want to do some more regulations on them, some more stringent rules, and maybe these are why they want to do those things.
Yeah, because I think pretty much at this point, just about anybody with a car can be a rideshare driver.
Yeah.
They have to tighten up
on these rules, right?
Yeah, Jefferson Roger, I'm guessing it's Maciel, is the driver of the car. So, DeLima was 3-1 in UFC. And then, of course, you know, just to make it even sad, he's married with two children. So this idiot ran down somebody's father. I don't know what the laws are, Bill, but I hope whatever they are, they throw it at him. It even says here that he ran him over from behind, so the guy didn't even really see it coming.
Yeah, it's a sad story, really a sad story.
But, yeah, I wish they had a little more detail on, you know, what caused the argument or, you know, how the hell it escalated to this. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, I've had plenty of passengers I've argued with going from, you know, place to place in my former career, but never to the point where when they got out of the car, I would run them over, would even consider running them over. So, you got to wonder what the mental state was.
I wonder if we'll find out some more information about that then in the next few days.
Yeah, because, that's just ridiculous. But, yeah, I saw that story earlier, and I was just like, how the hell does it escalate to this? I mean, you know, you're in a car. You're just basically, you know, it's a cheap cab, more or less, however you want to look at it. And, you know, it doesn't say they were arguing over the fare, and I'm guessing they weren't because the car was still moving. You know, I wonder why the hell do you argue with an ex-UFC fighter?
Yeah, and I don't know, would you classify this a road rage incident? And I don't even know if you could do that.
Yeah, I guess you would probably have to, but you would figure once the guy drove away, he would have let it go. I mean, as long as he was paid, you know, what the heck could have the other issue have been? But
it'll be interesting to see if we can find out more about it in the next few days or so.
Yeah, you know, have to see what continues to come out. But I mean, that's, you know, it's always ridiculous when you use your car as a weapon. So
and there's a lot of road rage incidents that we've seen over the years, but usually involve two cars. And altercations happening and just crazy things like that. It's just the dangerous world we live in, unfortunately, and we've got to protect ourselves at all times.
Yeah, so and then, you know, on a little different changeover here, I saw that we racked up quite a few more pitching injuries in Major League Baseball over the weekend here. I can just run them down before we kind of get into them individually. Michael Wacha is going on the DL. That's absolutely no surprise in St. Louis. He's on every year with a knee issue. The Blue Jays lost Matt Shoemaker for the year with a torn ACL. He actually got hurt involved in a rundown. And then I saw that Nathan Eovaldi is going to undergo elbow surgery. You know, he just got the big deal from the Red Sox in the off season after his performance in the World Series. So I'm guessing, you know, his season is probably over, you know, that he's having elbow surgery. I doubt they would bring him back, but I guess maybe there's a chance. And the Rockies put Kyle Freeland on the 10-day DL, but he should probably only miss one start because he's going on for a blister. But, yeah, you know, some bigger-name guys, you know, as bigger-name pitchers ending up on the DL, and it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I know Shoemaker's injury was a fluke, but, you know, like a guy like Wacha, for whatever reason, just he can't stay healthy. It's always something with this guy.
This guy, I always thought he had a lot of potential to be a very, very good pitcher, but
he did.
And with the injury, with the injuries happening to him so frequently that – he's never lived up to what I thought he would be.
Yeah, looking at his player card here, this is his seventh year in Major League Baseball. He's only made 30 starts on two occasions. Actually, and you know, he had 27 1 year, surrounded by a couple 30s. Other than that, the other 3 years on his card here, he's never even hit 20 starts.
Yeah.
Never pitched more than 181 innings in a year.
Yeah, it's
you know, like
last year, he was fantastic.
You know, he was 8-2 last year with a 3.20 ERA for the 15 games that he was healthy enough to stick around for.
Yeah, that's why they're not giving up on the guy. Once he's healthy, he's good. But boy, there's got to be a time when you bite the bullet and say, "Hey, this guy is always going to be injury prone, and we got to go in a different direction."
Well, you know, that's going to be at the end of this season because he's a free agent after this. So, you know, the Cardinals are going to have to sit down and, you know, make that decision. You know, I mean, you're looking at a guy who, you know, at one point in time was looked at as a former ace. You know, he was looked at as a number one, and he sure the hell isn't. You know, there's no way you could plug this guy in the top of your rotation and just kind of bet on him.
No, if you were a GM and he becomes a free agent, would you be inclined to sign him to a long-term deal?
You know, if it was low money, you know, because, you know, he is 27. So, you know, I mean, if he's coming in and, you know, it's the end of free agency and, you know, say he's looking for 4 years, if I could get him for under $10 million, I would probably do something like that. I don't know if he would even consider taking anything like that. But you know how it is when you get late to free agency. We see a lot of these guys who just can't get signed. You know, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrel, those kind of guys. So maybe in that situation, but, like, I'm not chasing him when he hits the market at the end of the year.
No, I would be very reluctant to give him, like you say, maybe towards the end of free agency when – if the price goes down, you might take a chance on him for 2 to 3 years, and if the money is reasonable, but boy, it's a tough call to make.
No, well, you know, and that's why, you know, I was a little surprised that the Red Sox went so all in on, you know, on Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, I get it; he made his money in the World Series, but you know, they went 4 years at $68 million for a guy who, you know, I mean, we're looking at another guy now. He's been in the league for 8 years. He's only made over 30 starts one time. He made 33 starts back in 2014. So, yeah, you know, they really kind of stretched it there with their belief. And you know, again, I get it. You know, in the World Series, he came in for 3 games. He had a 1.13 ERA. Believe it or not, I actually lost one of those games. But, you know, he was a fantastic postseason pitcher.
He was. He was a – it's hard to deny that.
You know, they went 4 years for a guy who, you know, just is never, you know, never healthy. So I don't know. You know, I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, obviously, if they don't get back to the postseason, it doesn't matter how good of a postseason pitcher he is because he won't get to pitch in it.
Yeah, well, right now they're in last place, I believe, aren't they, in the AL East?
Yeah, well, you know, and he was bad to start off with. In his 4 starts, which have only covered 21 innings, he hasn't had any decisions yet, but he's got a 6.0 ERA. Well, technically 6.00, but, you know, his ERA is 6 either way you look at it.
Yeah, not too impressive.
But, yeah, I get it. You know, they were struggling and they needed starting pitching. So, you know, they probably overpaid for him. I don't think he would have got it from anybody else. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But we did have a starting pitcher become available today. The Yankees granted, you know, Gio Gonzalez his release. You know, when he signed the minor league deal with them, he had the clause that, you know, if he wasn't brought up by a certain time, you know, all that stuff. And, the Yankees decided they weren't going to bring him up. So they, they're letting him go into free agency. He did make three starts in, you know, Scranton, Wilkesboro. You know, he wasn't fantastic. He threw 15 innings. He did win two of the games. He was 2-1, but his ERA was 6. You know, yeah. Even so, you got to think with all the injuries, there's going to be teams looking at this guy, right?
I don't know. I don't know. He might be done. I mean, this is another guy that had some injury issues. And the guy is a sixth in the minors, and the Yankees don't even want to bring him up to the roster considering all the injuries they've had. I'd be very reluctant to give him a chance. Although, it'll probably happen.
Well, you know, but the guy has made his starts. I mean, since 2010, the only year he was under 30 starts was 2014, and he made 27 starts still then. The last 2 years he's made, 32. So he's been solid in the rotation, and there's years where he's breakout good, and there's other years like you look at him, you're like, what the hell's going on with him? But he's only 33, so you got to figure with all these injuries, somebody's going to give him a call, and obviously he'll be a lot more affordable than Dallas Keuchel.
Right, that's true. Well, some guys are a young 33, and other guys are time to hang it up at 33. You never know. You never know when it's going to happen.
So, but yeah,
he'll probably get a chance. I wouldn't do it.
I have a feeling. With all the guys going down here, there's got to be a team out there that's going to be interested in, take, especially the fact that he's left-handed.
That's always a plus.
So. We'll see. I don't know. So far everybody's going with the Reds, both the Red Sox and the Cardinals mentioned that they will internally fill their injury spots, which doesn't surprise me with the Cardinals because they actually have some guys who look like they're pretty talented young pitchers. The Red Sox, I don't know about. They're, like you said, they're kind of buried in last place there, and it's been an odd start to the season for them considering they – were so dominant last year.
Yeah, well, certainly the Cardinals are going to be a force throughout the entire season in the NL Central, which is going to be up for grabs all year, I think. It's going to be very tight in that race.
Yeah, that's because the team with the talent just can't get it together. So otherwise they should just run away with that division, but they're just a joke.
You're talking about Pittsburgh now, right?
Yes. So.
First place Pirates.
Yeah, they were talking about them, the Mariners and who else was it?
Tampa.
The Mariners, Tampa. The Padres, the Pirates, and it might have been the Twins. As the surprise teams coming out of the gate, and if any of them will actually consider, be able to hold their spots through the year.
Do you really consider the Twins to be a surprise team? I didn't. I expected them to be in second place this year, at least in their division, easily.
I'm not super shocked that they're still hanging around. One of those things. Maybe I should double check and make sure that I had it right, but I thought it was the Twins that they had listed here. Where is it? So, but yeah, I thought a lot of people had the Twins as contenders going on. Yeah,
did.
No, probably Pirates, Twins, and Mariners. But I know people who had the Twins sneaking in and stealing a wild card spot. So I don't know if they really fall into the surprise category.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Seattle is more of a surprise than, of course, they've fallen into second place now, I believe, have they not?
Yeah, I believe so, which isn't that big of a shock. I kind of, I didn't expect them to do as well as they did getting out of the gate. So, But yeah, you know, like you know, San Diego's been good. You know, that's a a little bit of a surprise there. I think everybody expected them to improve. To me, yeah, Seattle is a huge shock because I didn't expect them to be very good.
Well, I don't think anybody expected Tampa to be running away with the AL East either.
So.
We knew they had a good team. Yeah, they had a good team, but not that good.
Yeah, you know, Tampa is that team that's just, you know, they're so hard to judge because, you know, you look at them and it's like, you know, oh, here, just a quick update. They're saying Evaldi's only going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, but I don't buy that. Yeah, you know, I mean, how do you ever, you know, how do you judge them? I mean, you look at the team and it's like, you know, there's no superstar. I mean, they have Blake Snell as a pitcher, but yeah, it's kind of like, oh, okay, look, they're, you know, they're 14-8 and they're the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah, they're, but playing great ball. They're playing great ball.
Just so you know, Seattle still is technically in first place. They're a game ahead of Houston. So.
Oh, okay.
So.
I know that Houston, I thought Houston had passed them, but I guess not. I know the Dodgers have moved in the first place, though, in the West and the
yes.
National League.
Yeah.
Didn't take
actually, the Dodgers moved. You know, when the Dodgers jumped up there, I mean, they took a 2.5-game lead, so they kind of went right by everybody.
Yeah, aren't they around 14-8 also? Last time I looked, I haven't checked.
15-9.
No. Okay, so they split two games since the last time I checked.
Yeah,
they had a tough game against Milwaukee yesterday. It was on the MLB Network, and they had a lead, a 4-0 lead, but the Brewers caught them, but they pushed across the run in the ninth inning yesterday to win that game.
Yeah, they got off to a quick lead yesterday. I think it might have been a Jock Peterson grand slam, and then it was just kind of like they stopped hitting. So,
yeah, well, they still wound up winning the game, and Peterson's off to a terrific start, very very hot lately.
Well, isn't that was that back-to-back blown saves for Josh Hader? Or, well, I guess technically yesterday wasn't a blown save because it was tied, but that's back-to-back games he's given up runs in the late innings, I believe, both to the Dodgers.
Yeah, everybody is proclaiming this guy to be the superhero that can't be hit. Well, maybe when he plays against the Cubs, that's true, but not when it comes to some other teams.
Yeah, unless you're the Dodgers. Oh, here, just to let you know real quick, the Red Sox have gotten out of last place. The Orioles have slipped into last place in the East.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
That was everybody's universal choice for being in last place this year.
I think the Orioles. I think the one picks we knew we were going to get right when we made our predictions were the Orioles finishing last in the AL East and the Marlins finishing last in the NL East. So
yeah, that was the only two I was confident in those two choices, but the rest of them I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, Tampa is on a little bit of a skid. They've lost 4 in a row. You know, lucky for them, they're hosting Kansas City tonight, who is 17-15 and on a 3-game losing streak of its own.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not playing a strong team tonight. Oh, by the way, talking about Kansas City, it was interesting to me to see that Mr. Solera has come down to earth rather quickly.
Yeah, well, you know, does that surprise anybody after, you know, guys get off the hot starts? So,
yeah,
you know,
a little over 200 now.
You know,
really,
I've heard,
really
I'm trying to think
down.
How many people I've heard have already, you know, they've already given Christian Yelich the MVP, and it's April. You know, maybe we should let him finish the season before we start giving him the awards.
Well, I certainly think he's a talented player. No doubt about that.
No, you know,
that's
a great start. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but, you know, I mean, it's a long season, and, you know, I mean, he could slump. You know, he's probably going to slump at some point in time. You know, every player does it. And, you know, then I'll be interested to see if they, you know, if they turn their back on him, you know, when he starts to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, well.
Because they're good for
that. Yeah, I'm sure he'll have his, you know, his slumps like every other major leaguer, but I think he'll be solid for this year. He's a good player. I don't think he's gonna go up too high or too low. That's what you got to do. You got to, if you want to really establish yourself, it's those make or break overall competition that does the trick. Well, that being said, of course, I'm still concerned about Mr. Bryan.
Yeah, well, you know, like Yelich's power numbers are way up. He's never been this kind of home run hitter before. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, those things go. But, humorously, I mean, he's already the NL MVP, and they kind of forget that Cody Bellinger is, you know, he's right there with them, and, you know, he's a couple homers and three RBIs behind, and he's got a better batting average, even though I know that means absolutely nothing now. So, yeah, I
always
kind of
start making predictions, though, right? Because of what only 10%
right,
of the
know,
season, maybe 12% of the season in the books.
It's April 22nd.
You know, a long way to go.
So, yeah, I just kind of laugh because, I mean, you would think, you know, they run into the situation where a lot of, you know, NBA writers run into where they only want to talk about LeBron James and they forget that there's, you know, other players in the league, and they're kind of running into this stigma now where it's Christian Yelich and everybody else, and this is a big league for them to just do that.
Yeah, you can't do that just yet, a little bit too soon. A lot of the top players prefer to play in the consistently warm weather. That's when their bats really start coming alive. So let's see what happens in June, July, August, when the weather heats up and some of these other players' bats start to be a little bit more dominant than they are right now.
So, yeah, and then real quick, here's the schedule for tonight. The Phillies are actually at the Mets. That's the Mickey Mouse Network game. You can watch your guy Jake Arrieta pitch. The Diamondbacks at the Pirates, the White Sox at the Orioles, the Royals at the Rays. The Brewers are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. We got the Twins at the Astros, the Nationals at the Rockies, the Yankees at the Angels, and the Rangers at the A's. The Tigers-Red Sox game has been postponed, so if you had a daily fantasy lineup ready to roll with any of those guys in it, you better get out there and get it switched. So there you go. That's what you're looking at tonight.
A small schedule tonight. Not many games.
Yeah, no surprise being Monday that it's a short night. So.
Yeah, Monday and Thursdays are the games. We see the off days usually.
Yeah, well, you know, they need their, you know, you got to get that travel in, and, you know, it's nice to have that day off. So, you know, we'll see how that, you know, see how that goes. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm interested.
You imagine how difficult it was traveling, by the way, in the olden days, before jet travel, and how these teams adapted to play when there's all that travel that they did, and no jet trains, a lot of them going on an airplane, rather than airplanes, a lot of them went on trains, and it was a pretty grueling schedule, but they have it easy now.
No, well, that's what I always laugh about when these guys start crying. You know, I mean, remember the big stink the NBA players made a couple years ago about travel, and, you know, LeBron humorously wanted more time off for the All-Star break to spend with his family, and then they gave it to him, and he didn't spend any of it with his family. He went to, like, Dallas for a football game and someplace else for something else. And, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you look at the scheduling. I mean, you know, in the NHL, sometimes they get two games in between games, but normally it's just one. In the NBA, they're always getting two or three game days off. It's just a joke with the scheduling compared to baseball. I mean, you know, God, if these guys, you know, if the NBA players were baseball players, they'd cry so much I wouldn't want to watch them.
Right. And,
you know, oh, no, we got another game today. Oh, no.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Michael Jordan's heyday, the ratings were so good. I believe there were some times in a playoff that they played – like Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Sunday, even with no intervals at all. Just, I seem to remember that.
Yeah, well, I believe when the first round series were best of three, they obviously they didn't play back to back, but when they switched them to best of five, they started playing back to back. You know, the home team would play, you know, two, and then they would go on the road for two, and a lot of times those middle games were back to back. You know, you'd get a day off in between game two and game three, and then you'd play three and four back to back, and if you needed five, you'd come back to the higher seeded team for five. I mean,
right.
You could go through the schedule now, and I'm willing to bet you there are zero back to back games on the NBA schedule.
Yeah, not anymore.
You know, I think that's part of the reason that it bores me. I mean, I see a great game and then I don't see these two teams play for 3 days after that. You know, by then I no longer care. You know, you've been gone for 3 days. I don't care. I'm on to something else. So.
Sure. Yeah, that's certainly, especially in the early rounds, you don't want to see that happen because you know the ratings are going to be low anyway. At least you have them play every couple of days. So at least there's some kind of an interest there because, as you pointed out, 3 days off, it's just interest. There's so many other things to watch, so many other things to do that the ratings are going to go in the tank, and they probably are already.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, you can't tell me that to open a series, you couldn't play game one and two back-to-back because you've just had a week off from the end of the regular season. You can't get your guys ready to play back-to-back in a week? You know, they're professional athletes that could be in top shape, but yet they cry about doing it.
Well, it's the way it is now, and I don't think we're going to change it anytime soon. But, boy, it was always exciting.
Well, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
You know, I think people get to the point where
they back-to-back games.
It goes year-round.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I think when they played the Detroit Bad Boys, the Bulls, a number of years ago, they played the game when they finally swept them and on their way to their first NBA championship, I believe the Saturday and Sunday games were in Detroit back-to-back.
Yeah, which shouldn't be any real issue for, again, we're talking about professional athletes. You know, we're not talking about guys we're pulling off the street. You know, I mean, we're looking at guys that are in shape, you know, ready to play and, you know, all this other stuff, and yet they need, you know, multiple time off, you know, multiple days if they, you know, they can handle it. So.
Yeah, if you're a professional athlete, you really don't need that time off, except for football, of course. Obviously, the only sport where there's that week off between games. Most of the time.
You know, I think Golden State played yesterday. They were one of the Sunday matchups. They don't play again until Wednesday night now.
Yeah,
so,
plenty of time, and I anticipate they'll be wrapping it up on Wednesday, by the way.
You know, and it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, great. Here, you know, we got the team that people would probably want to see play. So, yeah, hey, here's the strategy. Let's make them wait. So they can't watch them. Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Go away.
Go figure the NBA. You'll never be able to do it.
You know, and I know they like to try to blame it on the television providers and stuff, but, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network has like six channels now. You can't tell me they couldn't use another one to cover an NBA game.
I'm sure they could do that. I mean, there's always a channel that normally doesn't telecast a basketball game available. Like you said tonight, in fact, I believe you said one game is on, what, CNBC?
That's hockey, yeah. The basketball game is TNT.
That's right. TNT is covering the games tonight, but there are other affiliates of TNT that could easily show a game if necessary.
So, yeah, it wouldn't be difficult if they wanted to do it. It's just a... You know, like obviously, you know, over the weekend, ABC had games because they own them. You know, Disney owns all those networks. So, you know, how difficult would it be?
It would not be difficult at all. Of course, they They even had that game on, what was it, Friday night on national TV on ABC. One of the playoff games last Friday.
So, you know, just one of those things. But yeah, again, it's just more my my frustration with the NBA that doesn't, that just kind of loses my interest.
Yeah, and they need. I think the NBA is suffering because some of, as we talked about this before, but there doesn't seem to be a recognizable maybe one or two superstars that people want to watch, but that's about it. And the fact that some of the major markets aren't involved in the playoffs, that also doesn't help them either. Plus, as you pointed out, a three-point game loses a lot to me. And there's no defense at all in basketball anymore, and it doesn't do well, at least as far as I'm concerned. I prefer a 95-90 game in the playoffs as compared to 140-130. And that's not real basketball as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I laughed yesterday. I caught a highlight from the Rockets Jazz game, and James Harden was attempting to play defense. Now, he's notoriously one of the worst defenders in basketball. Great offensive player, actually MVP, but doesn't know the first thing about defense. The guy from Utah went by him and brushed him, and he grabbed his throat like he got punched and stood there and just watched the guy go to the basket. And the humorous thing was the guy passed off to another Jazz player who was close to Harden, and he just stood there and looked at the guy because he was allegedly hurt. The guy hit him in the throat, and then after the whistle blew, he stood there and held his throat. I thought I was watching a soccer game.
Yeah, soccer players are great for the embellishment, and they get penalized, by the way, for that in soccer. I don't know if the other sports
can
do it.
They used to in the NBA. They were fine and floppy, and for some reason, they've went away from it because, Harden would be broke.
Yeah, great offensive player. He's a great offensive player. You can't take that away from him. But you need to play a rudiment of some kind of defense too.
Well, that's the funny thing he's actually an MVP. He's been most valuable player of the league, and it's like, he's maybe the best offensive player in the game. Also, the worst defensive player in the game. I doubt you could find anybody worse. I mean, exerts no effort, doesn't try. But, that doesn't matter now because it's all about the offense.
That's true. Well, you know what Parker's remarks were when he's his short stint with the Bulls about defense.
Oh, no, what did he say? I don't remember.
Well, in essence, he said, what's that? They don't pay me to play defense.
Yeah. So, but they should.
Yeah, but the dying art, I guess, a good defensive player.
Oh, yeah.
There are still some left.
Yeah,
there are still some left, but
there's not nearly as many as there used to be. Very, very, very few guys who actually bother to even attempt to play. Normally it's the bigger guys because they can block shots.
Yeah. That's the current status of the NBA right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that's the sad part about it. But hey, look at that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, though, which is @SportsTimeRadio. As always, there's a nice couple of minutes coming along and listening to live. But remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want on TuneIn.com.